Rush. Ron Howard's newest film is a flag-to-flag winner. Great story, great characters, and great racing action from beginning to end.
James can be a loose cannon, but in terms of raw talent, there is no better driver in the world.
Why don't they make it safer?
Risk of death turns people off.
Who's that?
It's Niki Lauda.
He's just been signed by Ferrari.
I'm both quicker than you and better at setting up the car.
James Hunt is a proven winner at the highest level.
Is there a question? Or are you just trying to piss me off?
This is an incredible battle between these two drivers.
I heard about this thing with Niki.
Everyone has.
James, do you think you can cope with the pressure?
To be a champion, you have to really believe it.
You're just a party guy.
They're killing us out there.
You're too far back.
They're quicker than all of you.
And James Hunt is out.
It's over, superstar.
More powerful than even the fear of death itself is the will to win.
Which is why I'm here begging.
You really think you could beat him?
Trust me.
Today with the rain,
it's the most dangerous trick in the world.
That all depends on how good you are in the rain.
Let's race.
Talk to me, James.
Don't go to men who are willing to kill themselves driving in circles looking for normality.
Niki Lauda, trapped in a searing inferno of 800 plus degrees.
Responsible for what happened.
Watching you win those races, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car.
Showdown between you and Niki is all anyone wants to see.
Rush.
Rush is the true story of race car drivers James Hunt and Niki Lauda. Hunt is an Englishman who drives with a combination of instinct and recklessness, and the German Lauda is technically brilliant, always calculating and figuring out the odds. Over the years, as the two drivers work their way up from Formula 3 to Formula 1 racing, a fierce rivalry develops between them. But this competition to win the championship takes an unexpected turn in 1976 during a pouring rain at the Japanese Grand Prix. For me, in the movies, there are two things that just about never, ever work. Underwater stuff, it's just too slow. And car races. I actually don't think a good car race film has ever been made. I mean, it seems like it has all the elements. Danger and cars moving fast and all that. And yet, man, they just put you to sleep.
Yes.
So that's why I was shocked that this was like one of the better films of the year.
Yeah, I have to agree completely. I'm not a fan of car racing. And I'm not a fan of car racing movies. But what surprised me so much about this film is that I actually preferred many of the car racing sequences to many of the dramatic sequences. Not that there was anything wrong with the dramatic sequences, but the car racing was shot in so many interesting ways that just kept you compelled, kept you watching. So it was a surprise to me how much I liked it.
I've not been a Ron Howard, the filmmaker, fan. I thought he made some kind of cutesy movies in the 80s, Splash and, the Michael Keaton star maker. Yeah, Night Shift with Henry Winkler. But anyway, this was just great. And the other shocker, the actor who plays Thor, who I think is either English or Australian.
Chris Hemsworth.
After Thor, this was just a very deep, nuanced, excellent, almost classical performance. And whatever British blood he has in it was allowed to shine through as an actor. And the German guy was great.
There are these clean transitions between everyday life and the actual races. And that never happens in other race car films. So because the story is always focused on those two guys, when we go to these other races, and Mario Andretti's in them and all these other big names you might remember, the film doesn't care. A lot of times the film cuts mid-race and then goes somewhere else, or it shows you a big chunk of a race. But I think the reason it pulls it off is most of the racing stuff, a great deal of it, is point of view stuff in the car. Mm-hmm. So when we move from the everyday stuff to the car stuff, we're still staying with them. It's always kind of maintaining their point of view, and it's always moving towards, I thought this was very smart also, the film starts with the pivotal race at the Japanese Grand Prix in 70s. And it's really become a big gimmick on TV shows and even in movies where you start at a certain point and then the movie goes, hold on a second, X amount of days, months, years before. But in this film, I don't know these guys' story that well, which I loved. I didn't know anything. So by using that here, it does create this sense of anticipation about something coming. And if you don't know, it's important to making the film work because I had no idea, but I knew something was coming. You're always moving off the track, onto the track in the cars, and we know we're moving towards that moment. And this film just had kind of a coherent feeling that other films like this have never been able to pull off.
Well, in terms of just how the two characters play out with their relationships with women. The James Hunt character, he's a complete womanizer, hedonistic, loving it, and you kind of love seeing it because he's having so much fun. He does marry. He does settle down in a relationship with a woman, as does the Niki Lauda character. And of the two, you would think it would be Hunt who would somehow successfully manage a relationship with a woman. Of course, what we don't expect is it's the Lauda character whose relationship endures, even though he predicts it won't.
But the Lauda character, he's kind of cold and standoffish, and even in his relationship, he's always kind of weighing the odds. You don't really need to do much to set up the Hunt character, because we know the kind of guy he is. He knows women are going to be attracted to him. But I think they have a very good scene making the Lauda character credible. A friend drags him to a party. He doesn't want to be there. His friend says, "Why did I bring you here at all?" And he kind of abandons him. And then Lauda sees this woman leaving, and he says, "Can you give me a ride?" And she says yes, and she turns out to be the girlfriend of the guy who was at the party. But then the car breaks down, and then they have a nice twist on the It Happened One Night scene where, they're hitchhiking. And so the car sees her and screeches to a stop, and then the two guys get out of the car and they're running over, and she's ready to give the little sexy come on. And they rush right by her and goes, "Oh, are you Niki Lauda? We thought it was you, but we just couldn't believe it was you." So you've got the payoff, the turnaround on the It Happened One Night joke. But then there's an even better scene inside the car where the two guys back there are just so jazzed he's there, and she's trying to figure out what's going on, and then she kind of still doesn't believe it, and she wants him to race fast, and him being him says, "No, there's nothing in it for me to do. Why would I risk my life? I'm just not going to do it." And so finally she says, "Come on." And then he does it, and you can see she's impressed. She gets it, and the guys in the back are just going, "Woo! Can't believe it. And so you really get won over to this guy, and it's just such a key scene that's so much fun, and it's just great.
It's a wonderful scene, capturing of the gusto of the sport and the times and the pre-PC milieu of it. Most of the story, other than the racing locations, takes place in England. And it's just lovely touches of England with just great actors in support. The unabashed sexism of the time, you know, with no apology. You know, I just wasn't expecting it from Howard.
This was actually the thing that kind of hit me the most, because it's just so absent from movies now. So if you see a sports film now, this is usually what you're going to have. Either a bunch of misfits pulling off an incredible win, or something that's a variation like that, a true story, say like Hoosiers, where no one expects them to win, but they just win game after game after game at some point. And the people they're beating don't even matter. They're just, "Oh, that's a big school. We don't have any business beating." Or it's just like there's some kind of the top team or the top guy is just some complete evil asshole who deserves to be beaten, but nobody can beat him. This was a film about mutual respect. And even more importantly, and they kind of hit it a little too hard at the end, but I'll forgive them for that. This is about two guys at the top of their game. And they're even better because of the competition between them. Neither one of these guys would be as good as they are or come to be if it wasn't for that competition with the other guy. So the other guy, even if he's kind of your enemy, he makes you better and you make him better.
And then there's a great scene when he recovers from an incredible burn of his body. But the key scene is right after that. He forces himself to recover and decides to race again. And he gives a press conference and he looks horrible. He looks like the mummy.
I mean, it's only like a month and a half later.
Right, right. He just like brought himself from the brink.
Yeah, he's had all these skin grafts and looks terrible.
It looks horrible. And one of the reporters says, you know, "Well, how's your marriage? Can your wife stand you like that?" And he just leaves. He leaves the press conference.
Hunt's been winning while Nicky's been in the hospital. Right. So he's making his move in terms of the championship. And so he sees the reporter in the hallway and he goes, "Hey, I've got a little something for you on that marriage thing." And the reporter's like, "Oh yeah, okay, let me know." And then he just punches the guy's lights out and like shoves the tape into his mouth.
And then says, "Go home and see how your wife likes the way you look now."
Yeah.
Which is so perfect.
And Lauda doesn't even know this. You know, it's just a really cool, really wonderful, almost Howard Hawksian. And it's funny because Howard Hawks himself had a disastrous movie about race car driving. He couldn't even do it, but Ron Howard did, and I'm shocked.
Towards the end of the film, he kind of thanks Hunt because he says, "You know, the only way I could have gotten out of the hospital," because he had all kinds of damage to his lungs. His face was like, you know,
burnt off
practically. And they had this really painful thing where they shoved this long tube down his mouth and his throat and into his lungs. And
terrible.
They have to kind of like vacuum it out. And so while that's happening, he's watching Hunt win on the TV set. And he says, "You know, watching you win was the only thing that enabled me to make this recovery." And so just nice stuff like that is all the way through the film. The other thing for a sports film, what really shocked me was, you know, you have Nick in the final race in the rain. He's making his comeback and he seems weak at first, but then he starts making his move and he's doing pretty good, but he decides to stop. He just drops out of the race, and you know he's doing it because in his mind, the odds are too bad. It's not worth risking his life. More than that, it's not risking not being with his wife anymore.
Right.
There are very few sports films where the guy drops out and quits and you still like him and you're rooting for him. And then even more surprising later on, once Hunt has his big championship season, he goes, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to prove. And I did it. And he drops out of racing. And it's just shocking that there are these characters who are self-aware enough to know what they want and what's important and then to act on it.
And in a sports film, you seldom get the idea of the two, I want to say protagonist and antagonist, but they're both protagonists.
Yeah.
And that in itself is winning and unusual and a credit to, I'm guessing, not only the writing, but the directing. But I think Ron Howard, in his direction, really helps you see that these two are unique and you can like both of them and you can root for both of them.
It's all around an amazing movie. The biggest surprise of the year, I think.
And it will also make you remember, if you were there at the time, how really ugly women's fashions of the 70s were. But that's okay, because that's how they looked.
Hey, it wasn't just the women, Nancy.
No, I guess that's true.
Well, I'd have to say, this was a nice surprise that I almost let slip by.
It's a wonderful way to live. It's the only way to drive. The closer you are to death, the more alive you feel.
That will do it for this week. Join us in 3 weeks for episode 82. In the meantime, why not check out our blog at cinemamisfits.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Do you have a movie memory you'd like to share? Well, call and record it at 818-528-4048. We may use it on the podcast. Comments about the show or the movies are always welcome. Thanks for listening. This has been a Running Scared production.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne?
In terms of the coming year, a couple of films I'm looking forward to, and this is kind of ironic, one of them, because of my New Year's resolution for the film industry, but one of the films I'm really looking forward to is Godzilla. I saw a notice somewhere online, it said the Godzilla trailer was up. I went there for a hoot and a laugh, and I just saw what I thought was the absolute perfect Godzilla trailer. Besides everything leading up to the final image being perfect, the final image is his silhouette and all this rubble and smoke, and you see that they got the spot right, and you hear his roar, and it's kind of that old Godzilla roar, and I thought, my God, this might actually be a pretty good film. The other movie I'm looking forward to, and this is a little weird for me also, is The Grand Budapest Hotel. I think all the things I dislike about Wes Anderson will actually work. It's like done in kind of a late 1930s, sort of a Lubitsch kind of take on things. And although there have been a number of films shot in either, you know, the silent aspect ratio or 1:37 recently, I always have the feeling the people involved are doing a really good job of getting the look right. Where when I look at the trailer for Wes Anderson, he understands the almost square 1:37 aspect ratio, and every shot is composed. Not to make it look right, but because he knows how to compose for the frame. And because of the colors and the look of the film, I think this just might be one of those films I can just sit there if I have to, just enjoy it on a visual level. These are probably going to both be horrible disappointments, but I am looking forward to them.
What am I looking forward to? Well, there are at least two adaptations of young adult novels which are coming out, The Fault in Our Stars and The Giver. I would say I'm looking forward to those. Also, a musical. Into the Woods,
oh.
A Stephen Sondheim musical will finally be with us, and Meryl Streep will be in it, so there's every reason to see it right there.
The Oscar buzz has begun.
Yes.
So my first one is kind of based on this guy's body of work this last year. And from what I saw, the trailer, Interstellar, with Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh, yes.
So because Matthew McConaughey's in it, and, you know, Jessica Chastain, who Nancy loves too, and Hathaway. So it has a big cast. Yeah. Basically, I just want to continue seeing Matthew McConaughey's growth out of stripper shorts.
That sounded
a little creepy,
meant.
But you know what I meant.
Uh-huh.
And it's directed by Christopher Nolan.
I'm in.
Really looking forward to that. But I guess the next one would be coming out next Christmas is a film called Unbroken, which is now being taken over the direction by Angelina Jolie because she wasn't the original director. It's not a well-known cast. In fact, there are a bunch of unknowns. But it's about a World War II pilot. Him and his crew fell over somewhere in Japan and was put into a concentration camp. I guess Japanese concentration camp. I don't know what they called him over there. But it's about basically how his torture and what he went through and his life story and his heroic feats.
Yeah, so what am I looking forward to? You know, I had most of my movie wishes granted this past year. Three of my favorite filmmakers actually had films out this year, all English films, and they were all very good. And plus, a science fiction book that I really loved was turned into a pretty good movie. So I had a good year. As for next year, I can't even tell you. From what I know so far of what's coming out, the only one I'm kind of looking forward to is Captain America.
But what I'm really looking forward to is a film adaptation from a script I wrote that everyone seems to love. If they were to make it, they could make it this year and it could be out by Christmas.